all for it.
Oh. So what you're saying is you want to taste my nuts.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. This is why we can't get sponsors on the show. Talk about nuts. Like, we opened the damn show talking about nuts.
Ah, oh, poor Nelson. He brought you up better than this. Eating and talking with your mouth full.
I hope he's not listening.
Nelson, don't listen. No, he probably let go of this podcast, the Nerdy Legion podcast, starring Martin Ferretti and your Gold Lame short boy shorts, mom jeans, co-host Nick Wetmore, comfy couch, cozy hammock, banana hammock, 20 noise team.
I think you have the wrong show. This is the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore. Everyone knows this. Everyone that listens to the show knows that's exactly what the show is.
Oh, God. No. No,
nowhere in that show title does it say Martin Ferretti at any point in time.
We can turn this podcast. I have faith that we can turn this podcast around and get it headed in the right direction.
I doubt it. I very much doubt it.
I put on my George Michael's acid wash jeans. I have my short cropped black leather jacket.
Oh my!
With the little bejeweled studs that says "Good Boy" across the back.
Oh my!
And I have the acoustic guitar, as George Michael once said. You got to have faith. I have faith that we're going to turn this podcast around.
I have no faith. As I've learned from the previous 178 episodes of the show.
What?
This goddamn thing is a train wreck.
No way. Hey, you know what we did last year? Correct me if I'm wrong. Did we not, in the description of our Nerdy Legion podcast, did we not take out the reference that we talk about anime?
Yes.
Because we found that it's untrue. See, we're already headed in the right direction.
All
right,
so we're not liars.
It's a big ship, buddy. This is not a rowboat. This is like a tanker ship. This is like not the Titanic's. It's smaller than that. But it's still, it's like a skiff. It's like, it's smaller, but it's still, it can't do 10-point turns. It's going to take a while before it makes that turn. But that's all right. We're good with that.
So, I mean, how long is this turn? Because we've been doing this for 179 episodes.
I know. The bad thing is we don't learn from our mistakes, which are many. But if we actually went back and listened to all the mistakes, I think we'd be on the ball a little bit more. The problem is we don't go back and listen to those mistakes. We just move on.
Au contraire, Nick.
Uh-oh.
Because by pure mistake, I began listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast, episode number 3.
What?
Yesterday, yes.
Number 3?
Number 3.
Holy mackerel. Were we talking about the same dumb stuff as we do right now?
No, it was incredible. We had an introduction. We began with an introduction. I don't know what you would call it. See, I still don't know what the fuck's happening on the show. Oh, dang it, I cussed. But Paul was on there, you were on there, Rob Krieger was on there, the Dreamboat, cool. Julian Ferretti was on there.
Oh, yeah.
That was back in the day when this show was a very different show.
Wow. But have we at least improved on the episode descriptions?
So the audio quality is much better now?
No, not audio. The description, the text description that you write now that tickles me every week. I look forward to it.
If show descriptions had to be given a rating, of course, not including 7. Rob Krieger, I see you doing your IMDb rating. 7's not a rating.
Calling him out.
If we do a rating of 1 to 10 with 7 not counting and no half points, I would say that our show descriptions have vastly improved.
Heck yeah.
Vastly improved. I mean, I gotta say, they were pretty good back then, because I always write the show notes. And of course, I'm an exemplar of professionalism, as you can tell by the show.
You're a professional writer. Of course they're gonna be great.
Sure, that's what they say. But
yeah, that's what I say.
But they're definitely way better now.
I know, I love them.
They are pretty great. Mm-hmm. You know why they're great?
Hmm.
Because I take no notes during the show. So I do it purely by memory. And as a result, I end up making up half the description.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm just worried on the weeks that all of a sudden you're going to have a couple gin and tonics and get a little loopy. Ooh, I don't know if you'll be able to remember or recall as much as you do right now.
I need to do some calculations, you know what I mean? Because I haven't drank in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I haven't drank in a couple. I mean, I'm drinking a lot. I'm drinking some freaking matcha tea right now. Yum, yum. But no gin. No gin. No wine. No gin. It's very sad.
Wow. You're going to be a real lightweight when you hit C2E2, right?
I know. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, my.
It's going to be crazy. You know, I got to watch my carbs, Nick. I got to watch my carbs.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. So what's been up?
Well, I don't know how far you want to go down this road, but I wrapped up Age of Apocalypse.
Yes.
That is done, and I think I even texted you. It's pretty crazy when you go into an event, and the last, I would even say epilogue, because Age of Apocalypse wrapped up, and then of course you always have some spillover afterward issues, and Age of Apocalypse was no different than regular events, but the after issues actually made me appreciate the event even more, and it brought up more questions, and it brought up me wanting to know, where the heck are they going to go from here? And it's absolutely fascinating.
So were the questions that you had previously, because you were a little concerned about how this thing would end up.
Correct.
Were you pleased with the direction and the finale?
Absolutely. Yeah, it wrapped up. All my questions were answered, but I'm saying it brought up new questions and new ideas. Like Bishop is walking down a hall, and Hank and Scott is walking towards him, and he's talking, like they respond to him, and he sort of freaks out, and he can't recall. It's almost like both timelines for him, since he, you know, travels back and forth through time, both timelines are meshed in his head. And it's almost like he's schizophrenic, but he's schizophrenic with the timelines, which is really fascinating.
So it's like 12 Monkeys.
Read more. Yes. And it made me want to read more, like, where is Bishop now? What is going on from this point after Age of Apocalypse? I want to I would hope that they would take that and run with it back in whatever it was, 93. But I don't know if they do. Do they just wipe the slate? I have no idea. But like I said, it brought up new questions, and I actually want to read more. And one of the after Age of Apocalypse bits was with Cable and his team, and they're in Murder World, and they took over Murder World as their base of operations. And of course, I'm like, when did that happen? I want to read about that. And then they talked about Sunspot, I guess, turned evil and then didn't. And of course, you know me, I've said this for years. I really miss the editor's notes. And this editor's notes was like when Sunspot described, like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. That doesn't affect me anymore. Cable has seen through that. And he welcomes me back to the team. Like, I'm not evil anymore is pretty much what he was saying. And then the editor's note was like, see X-Factor 24 through 27. And I like me some Sunspot. So I immediately went to, what issues have I purchased? Please tell me that I purchased issue 24 through 27. Sure as shit, I didn't. So I went on and bought those issues because it's like, I want to read that arc. I want to see Sunspot do something a little different. So yeah, that's in my queue.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just little bits and bobs like that. It was really fascinating.
Yeah, it's nice when a comic will entice you to read more stuff. But in a good way, right? Not like where they expect you to read 3,000 different stories in 3,000 different books.
But you feel like you missed out.
Yeah.
Like it made me want to read more, not like, son of a B, now I have to go read 24 through 27 to understand what the hell this scene's about. No. I read it and I totally understood everything that Cable was talking about. It just brought me to a different place. And I gotta say, there's a, I think it's X-Men Universe, the last issue of X-Men Universe, where it was like the giant sized one. It was after Age of Apocalypse, and it was a giant sized issue, and it had like 8 writers and 10 artists. There were some art in there. Like, I've never seen Brian Hitch do X-Men before. Granted, I missed decades of X-Men when I bailed from them. But just like looking at 3 or 4 pages that him or what's his name? Paul Pelletier?
I think that's like right,
Yeah, I think he did 3 or 4 issues, or not issues, but pages. And they never told you who did what, but you can sort of figure it out. And it was fantastic just to see like, wow, this doesn't look anything like it. Like Brian Hitch's stuff. Would I have loved if he did the entire Age of Apocalypse? Sure, because I like Brian Hitch's work. But just to see him doing Wolverine or Cyclops or Bishop, ooh, lordy, lordy. So good. And I still got to say, Age of Apocalypse made me love my Forge, my Bishop, and I wish Cable was in it more, because I never read a lot of the early Cable. I sort of came in with the Straczynski? Short? Dwayne? What was his name?
Straczynski. Yeah, now Straczynski. Different guy.
Yeah, sorry. I came in with his writing, because I've always, somebody told me it's sort of like Lone Wolf and Cub with him and Hope. And that made me perk up my ears and like, ooh, I'd like to check that out. Okay. So that's sort of the Cable that I knew. And then I went back and read just a few of the older stuff, but I bought a lot of it. I have to read it still. But like those three, oh my God, like Age of Apocalypse made me enjoy the, especially Bishop, made me enjoy Bishop a heck of a lot more. And I sort of like X-Man now.
Good. Because you got Age of X-Man coming soon.
I'm looking forward to it thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it just, oh, it was such a pleasant ride. And I think I even threw out to you, I can see why you reread it a few times, because granted, Hickman took a lot from it for Secret Wars, but I don't think that's a bad thing. And I've read Secret Wars and all the tie-ins at least 3 times. But I still found, and I'm sure you do with Age of Apocalypse, you find so many like nuggets now that you've read, like you might not have read it in 2 years. But then all of a sudden, a modern writer will tie something back into that event. And you might have sort of forgot about it. So rereading the source material, it's like, oh, dang, that's interesting. And it was thoroughly fascinating. And I love the Scott. I like the brother-brother rivalry. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm still way behind. I'm somewhere in book 2, I think.
Mm-mm-mm.
So you have defeated me in your reading, sir.
Ha ha.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. You have.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I guarantee you, you're farther with any of the new issues than I am. So this has pushed me behind. Like right now, I'm reading the new Conan, which is freaking awesome.
It's very good, Ronnie Barron.
Oh my God, it is. It is exactly what I want from Conan, and actually more. That is something that just by looking at the beginning, like I think it's the 3rd page where it's a collage of it looks like a collage of like various old Conan scenes or clips all collaged together on 2 pages. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. Like even just looking at that, and I own very little of it. I own a lot more of the Kerry Nord and Kurt Busiek. I own a lot more of that run.
I like that run a lot.
But that collage makes me want to go back and read some of the 70s Conan. Like, ooh, there is some good art in that.
I saw today that Dark Horse is putting out like a Conan reader.
Ooh.
Which, that's interesting. Really? So they must have worked out some deal with Marvel.
Huh. I like the thought of that. Mm-hmm. Get that on sale.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might as well. Yeah. I mean, Dark Horse is good at that kind of stuff, right? So why not outsource it?
For sure.
Because they're doing, who does the other trades? IDW, I think?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Because IDW, I think, is putting out a Spider-Man one either this month or next month, some kind of collection.
Mm. Not one of those artist edition things?
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Okay. I'll have to look at it again.
Gotcha.
But I thought I saw that in there. Cool. Very good. Gotcha. Very good. I'm glad that you finished it and enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thanks for the recommendation.
My pleasure. I generally don't recommend duds.
That's true.
It's true. It's very true. I haven't been up to really anything exciting, Nick. I went on a journey today. I had a saga.
Ooh, let's hear it. And not a Brian K. Vaughan saga.
Never heard of it. So, yes. So, our house was built in 1981, so it is as old as I am. A baby, as you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's stuff that needs to be done in the house. And, in the upstairs bathroom, the girls' bathroom, there was a leak in the cold water. Okay. The hot water was fine.
Ooh.
But the cold water, it was dripping. You know, you close it and it still drips. You gotta like go real tight. So
yeah, that's probably not good.
It's well, whatever. I mean, it's just drip. But so my wife's like, all right, we're gonna go get a faucet. So we went. She tricked me. She tricked me. We went a couple days ago. We went to Walmart.
Welcome back, Martin.
To Walmart. Here's where it gets better. So, she's like, let's go get a faucet. And I said, okay, well, let's go to Lowe's. She's like, well, you looked at prices. Walmart's got it cheaper. I said, that's fine. So I'm thinking to myself, we're going to go to Walmart, get this faucet, get out. Nope.
Of course not.
Not how it went. Not how it went. Because Nick, as you may know, Christmas recently happened. And so Walmart had their Christmas stuff for 70% off. And so, I got played. I got stuck shopping through the discounted Christmas items with my wife and kid, and it was not very exciting. I was like, can we just go get this faucet so we can get the hell out of here? And so
were the 80-page giants 50% off too?
They were not. And actually, I have a comment on the 80-page giants. Since you brought those up, I was going to do this. See, here's the thing about the show. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to write any notes, you know? Because we start talking, and it's like we read each other's brains.
Simpatico.
So we're going to get to the 80-page giants. So we're going through the Christmas stuff, and I saw some stuff on there, and I was like, there's no way this is 70% off. And my wife's like, well, it's with the 70% off stuff. I said, all right, fine. So
like what?
Well, like they had some toys there, which, you know, usually places don't mark down toys.
No.
And so I got Zoe a bath bomb maker because, you know, she wanted like DIY stuff for Christmas. So I got her some, what would I get her? Like a fragrance.
You got her. Yeah, I was going to say the perfume maker.
Yeah, the perfume maker and bath bomb kit and I don't know, some other crap, like five different things. And, but it doesn't come with anything. It comes with a mold, you know, so you have to like stuff it in by hand or whatever. And I saw this thing and it's cool. It's got like a press and the mold's with it. So you don't need to get your hands dirty. You just stick the stuff in and you use the press. So, very excited for that. Obviously, I'll be baking some bath bombs this weekend and, So I got that and I'm looking and I saw something that I've wanted for so long. And now
Batman PJs.
I have those. Matter of fact, I also bought Batman socks this past week.
With the cape?
Nope, I already have the cape ones. I have Cape Batman and Cape Superman.
Dang, you are good.
I know. But I can't remember where I saw them, but it was a 2-pack of socks and so the Batman one is, one's got a picture of Batman and the other one's got like the bat symbols, like my PJs. And then I also bought, Captain America, which is the same thing. It's got one set of socks is Captain America. And then the second set is the emblem. And then the third one that I got was Black Panther. So one's got Black Panther and silhouette and the other, and then the second pair is the Black Panther emblem. And so I bought those. Okay. They were very cheap. That's why I bought them. It was like, $3 for the pair. Or 2-pair. So I thought that was a good deal, so I bought them. Anyway, so no, not Batman socks. I found a foot bath thing. You know what I mean? Like you stick your feet in it, and it's got like, it heats the water, and it has like the jets and it rumbles, and it's got little attachments where you can like massage your feet. Yeah.
Is this for your daughter?
No, it's for me.
Oh, you are so dainty.
It's for me. So, listen, I've been eating avocados every day, okay? I can't help it. I'm becoming a hipster, as they say. So.
You're so bougie.
So I saw this thing on there, and I was like, there's no way this is 70% off. And I couldn't find the price on it. And she's like, well, we'll find one of those things. And couldn't find one of those price checking things. And as we're looking, there was a lady shopping in the Christmas section. She had some app where she could scan everything and get the price. And so she scanned it for me. She's like, yeah, it's $7. And I was like, $7? Sold to me. Because I've wanted one for a while, Nick. But, you know, I don't like to spend money on crap, you know? And, but for $7 to bathe and massage my feet on a daily basis. God, yes.
How is that Christmassy though?
Beats the hell out of me, but that's where it was. And so he picked it up. And so,
that's so weird.
By this point, of course, now we need a buggy because I have a bath bomb maker and a foot massager bath thing and a foot spa. Foot spa. That's what it is. And, the pro version, by the way. Cause they had a regular version that was like $5 on sale. But this one was the pro version. It was $7.18. Something like that. I don't know. And so, my wife got some candles cause Reagan wanted some candles. So we got some candles and, flashlights, like a fucking box of 20 flashlights. It was like $8.
Flashlights?
Dude, $8 for like 20 flashlights.
are you going to a rave?
No, but you know, like, in case the power goes out, because obviously we're like in a third world country.
What the hell's going on over there?
I don't even have enough batteries for all these flashlights.
If I buy you a set of like 10 Nest cams, will you just install them all over your house? Cause I have to pay attention to what the hell's going on over there. I am nosy neighbor. What's the one? I'm Mrs. Kravitz on Bewitched. I'm the nosy neighbor. I gotta know what the hell's going on over there. What the hell?
So
flashlights.
Yeah. Well, my wife's like, oh, that's a good deal. I was like, all right.
That's how they get you.
Whatever.
Ooh, that's a good deal.
And, I mean, I don't know why we need it. We have like, there's like 6 flashlights in the closet already. And, then I have a tactical flashlight in my truck.
Of course so, you do, cause you're part of the SWAT team.
Dude, that shit is so bright. You can light up the whole neighborhood with that little tiny flashlight. It is bright as, oh my God. And it does like the strobe thing too, you know, cause if you don't want to shoot somebody, you just strobe them to death. And, yeah, it's awesome. I've used it once and I've had it for like 5 years. And so, it was a Christmas gift, so I don't care. I don't know how much it was. And, so she loaded up this buggy full of, Christmas stuff. We go and I found, I was like, you know what? I can't do this Christmas anymore. So I go to look for the faucet and I found a nice faucet. It was cheap. It was like $30. And, then we got a couple of things and we go to check out. And, of course it's Walmart. So there's a line at every single goddamn register. And I was like, I'm going to go look at the comics and see if there's any new comics. And Reagan comes with me. She's looking at the little ding dong stuff that's in there as well. And Nick, I was very upset. I was very upset.
Oh no.
I should have tweeted this picture out. Oh. And tagged DC at DC Comics.
Uh-oh.
And told them that Walmart is shitting on their goddamn comic books. I don't know if this is like a thing at every other store, by the way. This is just like this one particular one. But I go to look for the comics and I can't find them. And finally I found them. And at this Walmart, they were on the top shelf, which is good because you can see them. But I look in there. Guess what I saw?
No clue.
Not DC Comics. You know what I saw in the DC Comics 80-page giant box? Marvel
Dark
Comics.
Dark Horse Comics? Oh, Marvel Comics. How dare you? How dare you?
There was like, what was in there? There was like Spider-Verse stuff.
Well, I might have to go over there.
I think there was maybe an Avengers and a Deadpool in there.
I'll take those.
Shrink-wrapped.
Ooh.
And they had like a little piece of cardboard in the shrink-wrap, so it's not like you could bend this. So that's good. props to whoever came up with that idea. Because those 80-page giants, like, they just fucking throw them in a box. You know what I mean? But good on you, Marvel. Good on you, Marvel, is what I'll say. Hashtag good on you, Marvel.
Touche, Marvel. Touche.
But, dude, and I'm not talking about, like, somebody picked one up from somewhere and misplaced it and just like, oh, there's comics in this box. Let me just throw one in here. No, I'm talking about, like, stacks, Nick. Stacks of Marvel comics all in the front. And I was like, where's the 80-page giants? And I'm looking through the box, and I had to flip, like, I don't know, 5-6 copies of these Marvel books, and then all the DC ones are in the back of the box. Now, I don't know what kind of deal they got going on over there with Marvel with DC and Walmart, but goddamn, I'd be pissed off.
That's bizarre.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like somebody is working for Marvel.
Does Disney own Walmart? Let's start a conspiracy theory here, Nick. I think Disney owns Walmart.
I like it.
Really? But I don't like Walmart or Disney. So now I like them even less.
But I like your theory.
Oh, you like my theory. Yeah, it's a good theory. It's a good theory. Mm-hmm. And it's weird, right? Like, why would they do that? Like, does Marvel not have their own goddamn box?
Yeah, can't they get their own box? What the heck?
I mean, how much could it cost to freaking buy a box to put your comics in?
Right. Get a box, Marvel.
Right? And like the box that they put the 80-page giants in, they don't bring a new box every month when the new books come out. It's the same box.
No, they don't. Of course.
It's been the same box for months.
Get in your own box, Marvel.
So, I took a picture of it. I was very upset.
Did you open up, now this is what I need you to do. Did you open up all of the Marvel comics and peel back the digital code sticker and take pictures so I can have free comics? Thank you.
Listen, I'm not a pirate, okay? I would never do such a thing.
All right, let me rephrase that because you are right. I'm sorry for offending you. Did you tell your daughter to open up all the Marvel comics, peel back the sticker, and take a picture for me?
No.
Because we are teaching her to be a hooligan.
What I would have done is opened up the comics, taken them out of their bag, and rubbed them on my testicles. That's what I should have done. Shame.
Dang it. Don't take a picture of that. I don't need that.
No, I'm not going to do that. Don't you worry.
I thought we were teaching your daughter how to be a hooligan. You are really laxing over here. I'm getting upset. Don't shirk your duty. It's 2019.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, my duty should be to report them. But
what?
But I don't want to do that.
No, you're teaching her the right ways. Come on.
Listen, DC is number one in my book.
Are they?
Yes, I love DC Comics.
Okay.
I love DC Comics. Sure, Please give me more.
Okay. Let's do an old-fashioned Nerdy Legion rank-up. Give me your top five comic book companies ranked. Starting at number five. We already know what number one is. You sort of blew your wad there. Shame on you. We have a show. Go ahead. All number right. five.
Top five. Yes. Is this like...
Not all time. Not all time.
Not all time. Okay. See, you read my mind again.
Thank you. Right.
Current. Top yes. five. And this is not including personal opinions on things, right? This is just based on the quality of the comics.
You do not have to justify them one way or the other. Feel free.
All right. This is purely based on the quality of the comics. Number one is DC Comics.
Mm-hmm. We're going to five. Who does a list that starts off with the number one?
Well, I already blew my wad on number one, so I got to start there.
You did. Shame on you. No.
All right, fine. I'll go back to five. I'll go back to five.
Thank you.
Number one, DC Comics.
God damn it. Come on.
Number five.
Yes.
Oh, man, I got to think about this.
Are you going to justify these two? Are we going to hear a reason or no reason?
Number five, Image Comics.
Oh, okay.
See, this is tough, though, because there's some companies that I like a lot, but they don't put out a lot
of
books.
Welcome to Nerdy Legion.
Right? So, what's
up? Hey, Martin Freddy.
Yes,
welcome to Nerdy Legion.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome to Nerdy Legion.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we talk, you know, sometimes we ask the hard questions. Enjoy.
This is a hard question. But there's some companies that I really like. I can't remember the name of the company, but Eric Powell's company. For a long time, there was just the one book. Oh God, what's the name of that book? I love that book. Nick, what's the name of that Eric Powell book?
I can picture it.
I can picture it too. You're thinking of the goon. No, not the goon.
The goon.
The other one. The one that's got the witch hunter guy. You know what I'm talking about. The guy that he's blind and he like walks around the world hunting witches. It just ended and then they just relaunched it. Oh man. It is Eric Powell, right? Yeah, it is. Hillbilly. That's the one.
Oh, there you go.
Have you ever read Hillbilly?
Nope.
Hillbilly is one of my favorite books coming out right now from any publisher.
Oh, but interesting.
But how am I going to – I can't judge a company on one book. You know what I mean?
You could. You don't have to justify anything.
I guess.
This is all you, buddy.
I guess.
So if you want to say Albatross, go ahead. Say Albatross.
No, I can't do that because they only have one book.
Okay.
So I'll do a price per comic. PPC is what we're rating this on.
Sorry, Eric Powell. Get out of here.
Eric Powell, I love you and I love Hillbilly. Don't ever stop doing it. It's fantastic.
Cutting you from the list.
The art on the new one is not as good as the previous one. I think he's got somebody else drawing it now. Or you know what? Maybe that's not what it is. Because the new one's a full color. Maybe that's what it is. I don't like the full color. Eric Powell, go back to the whatever grayscale thing that you were doing before. That was awesome.
We're cutting you from the list.
Cutting you from the list for that. Shame on you, Eric Powell.
Listener of the show, Eric Powell. Goodbye.
Albatross Funny Books. That's the one. Yeah, really good. But they're not on my top five because of that reason.
Nope. Right.
So number five is Image Comics.
Okay. Any reason? Or you're just going to say them?
I mean, I can give it a reason. I just think Image – here's the thing about Image. Image mm-hmm. throws a lot of stuff at the wall.
Yeah.
A lot of it does not stick. But,
well, to be fair, the number one, all the number one stick.
Well, sure.
Because that's the market and Image is smart.
That's right. But not a lot of them stick. But man, they have some books that when they stick, they're like fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like Port of Earth. I don't know if you're reading that or if you've read that. It's really, really good. And it's like totally up my alley. It's like a serious version of Men in Black, kind of.
Neat.
But with like espionage.
Hmm.
It's really good. Port of Earth, fantastic. What's the one that just came out? Self-Made, really good. The Freeze, really good. I mean, there are so many damn books at Image, but there's like a few that are just mm-hmm. standouts, and the really standout ones are like freaking awesome. Ice Cream Man.
Yes.
Ice Cream Man. Best book of 2018, Ice Cream Man.
Ooh, going out there.
Yeah. So a lot of really good stuff. Image, number five. Number four.
Nice.
Number four.
Yes.
We're going to go number four, Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Which,
okay.
Oddly enough, had you asked me this question in 2017, I probably would not have had Marvel Comics in my top five.
Oh. Moving up with a bullet.
Moving up. But I think Marvel's done some really good stuff. And it's not – I know some people are going to be like, oh, yeah, because Donny Cates is in there. You love Donny Cates. Oh, Lonnie and Zach are in there. You love Lonnie and Zach. Yes. Those are all – true statements.
Yeah.
But that is not just, that's not all of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Marvel's got a really good bench right now, I think. They've reworked a lot of their books where I think they work better than they were before. And they're putting stuff out that 5-10 years ago, I would never in my wildest dreams have even given a shit to read. Like Black Panther. I never gave a shit about Black Panther. I mean, I've read Black Panther books. But like, the current Black Panther. That's a good book. And then there's like stuff that why the hell am I reading this? But I really enjoy it. Like, the Suri book that's coming out. Black Panther's sister. The new Defenders book I really like, even though I'm definitely not in the demographic for that.
Have you read, the Killmonger book?
I have not read it yet.
Okay. Cause someone, a comic book manager who I know, he's been in the business for decades. He started a private Facebook group and he just sort of walks the aisles and take pictures, like randomly opens up books, take pictures of them and then sort of breaks them down mm-hmm. aesthetically without giving you what they're from. And he did that with a page of Killmonger and he just always throws out like private message me if you want to know what this is from. But I want to do it fresh and let people look over and read his comments without like imposing, this is a Spider-Man book, so bring all your preconceptions to it. Mm-hmm. And he did it with Killmonger, and the page that he took was the only page in a couple weeks that I actually reached out to him and was like, what the heck is that? That looks really visually exciting, as well as the dialogue seemed really good. Hmm. So I was just curious. That's all.
I think Brian Edward Hill wrote that book, so that would explain why it's so good.
Oh, that makes sense.
He does fantastic work over at the number one publisher, DC Comics.
You ruined it again. People might have forgot.
They're not going to forget that DC Comics is number one, because I will continue to say it. DC Comics, number one.
Dang it.
But yeah, they're doing fantastic stuff. I mean, Immortal Hulk, one of my favorite books, like, I don't know, in the past few years. Dude, I would have never given a shit about Hulk. You know what I mean? Like, when Byrne was doing it, it was really good. But by the time I was reading comics, like, he was already off of that.
Yep.
Right? So I've read that, like, going back to get those books.
Mm-hmm.
But, so yeah. So that's the next one. Number three is Ahoy Comics.
Oh.
I really like what Ahoy... Oh, damn. No, I can't do that. It's going to be a tie!
Nope. No ties allowed.
Dang it. All right, we gotta push Image out.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're gonna bring Marvel in at number five. We're gonna bring Ahoy in at number four. Ahoy's only got a couple books that they're bringing out, but I love the format, that magazine oversized format with all the weird back matter that sometimes makes no sense when you're reading the comic, but I just love the additional content. I love that they don't give a crap. I love, you know, I was concerned because they build a lot of their books kind of as funny books, as comedies. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they are, but man, like, some of the crap in there is freaking awesome. Like that Wrong Earth, holy moly, that's a great book.
I might have to go look for that tomorrow.
Wrong Earth is the surprise hit of 2018 for me.
Ooh,
okay. None of people are reading it, but it's really good. I love that book.
I'll read it tomorrow.
What was that, number three? No, number four. Number three is going to be...
Yeah.
Vault Comics is number three.
Mm.
I think Vault does some really interesting stuff. And my favorite book right now from them is... Is that Vault? Let me look this up. Fearscape. I think that's Vault Comics. Let's look this up real quick. It is. Good. Fearscape, by the way... I don't know if you ever go to Comic Book Roundup. I usually don't. But I DuckDuckGoed, and that was the first result that came up. One of the highest rated books, like series, on Comic Book Roundup. So, think about that. It's good. I think Mike and Bill talked about it on Geek Brunch. Because Mike expected Bill to like it because it's very pretentious. and it is, but it's especially pretentious because the main character is uber pretentious.
Nice.
Like, if you take all the pretentious shit that I say on this show and combine it into a ball, that's just like a speck of how pretentious this guy is.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
And he's totally delusional. But yeah, that book is really good. You should check it out, Fearscape. It's only like three issues, I think, are out, maybe four. Fantastic.
I might have to write these down. This sounds like a good little amount to grab at my local comic book store.
So, Fearscape, the main character is a failed writer. He wants to like publish novels, but nobody likes the way he writes.
Oh yeah, I do recall them talking about that.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And his best friend is like a George R. R. Martin kind of guy, you know, like super famous, has like dozens of books. They all sell millions of copies. And his friend's sick. And he goes to his house to like steal one of the manuscripts he's working on so he can like make it his own thing and publish it. And this like fairy woman comes out of the closet and she's like, are you George R. R. Martin? He's like, yes, yes, I am. She's like, cool. I need you to come and save humanity. And, so he has to go to the Fearscape and like fight humanity's fears, in this like other realm. It's freaking awesome. I love it. Fearscape. Fantastic.
It sounds like a vintage Vertigo type title.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. It sounds really original. I like it.
Yep. A lot of really good books there, like These Savage Shores. Ram V is writing that. It's a second book that I picked up from him that I really liked. I can't remember the name of the first one. I apologize. It was about, like, was it called The Last Siege? Maybe that's what it was called, The Last Siege. Anyway, These Savage Shores, freaking awesome. It takes place in, like, the 1800s, and this vampire flees Europe to go to the New World to, like, make a new life for himself. But he's a vampire, and people are catching on. It's fucking awesome. It's like very serious. It reads a lot like Rudyard Kipling. I don't know if you ever read Kipling before, but it reads a lot like that, but in comic book format, and with this like weird fantasy undertone. I'm trying to think what else they have coming out. Deep Roots is really good. Submerged is really good. I know I'm missing one. I can't remember which one. Oh, Frendo. Frendo's really good as well. Vault Comics. That's number three. Number two.
Vault Comics. Okay.
Vault Comics, yes. And they put out a ton of books. They're all really great. I first caught on to Vault with, what book was it? Heathen. Fantastic, by the way. It's like a Viking era book, except the main character is this badass, girl who's a lesbian and she's like fighting harpies. Oh God, it's fucking good. All right.
Sounds good.
Heathen. What? I wonder what happened to that book. I don't think that book ever finished. Number two, as you can imagine, is going to be Aftershock Comics.
Oh, good call.
Because Aftershock Comics, if there were no DC Comics, Aftershock would have the strongest output. I think, I don't even know how many books they're putting out right now, but.
You mean percentage, like.
Yeah, percentage of like.
Home runs.
Published versus like fucking good is very high at Aftershock for me.
That's impressive.
And I know that might not be the case for a lot of people, and that's fine. But if you've never tried an Aftershock book, go ahead and do that right now. Pause this podcast. Go get you some. Get you some. I don't know. Good which ones do I recommend usually? Baby Teeth, Animosity. I'm really digging the Garth Ennis book.
Dreaming Eagles?
A Walk Through Hell. Oh, Dreaming Eagles is really good. No, A Walk Through Hell. It's one of those books, it's like 8 issues in and nothing has happened, but like I can't stop reading it. It's freaking awesome.
Dang. Okay, who's drawing?
I don't know. Let's see here. Walk through hell. I can't type.
See? Sorry, I know I could just watch the Aftershock or listen to the Aftershock podcast and get this information.
Yeah, I mean, you could do
shame
that.
Shame on me.
Goren Suzuka.
Ooh, I like him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I might have to pick that up at my local comic book store tomorrow.
Yep. Fantastic. Really good. It's got that similar style to Ghosted.
Okay.
Yeah. Like coloring and everything. Yeah.
All right.
And then, of course, number one. Can you guess what number one is?
DC.
DC Comics is number one.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Because they're the best.
I don't know. Like, tell me why. Is it a historical thing? You've always been with, you ride with DC, you're gonna die with DC?
Ride or die.
Or is Rebirth finally kicking in and really kicking your butt? Why?
Rebirth? What's Rebirth?
Ay, ay, ay.
Ah, Rebirth. That was a thing that was supposed to happen. That's what I said. As long as we don't like interject here with like weird stuff. Like personal opinions on certain things, then DC would have been lower at that point.
But just the quality Marvel would not have even been.
Yes, yes. But the quality of the book is fantastic. There's just a lot of really good stuff.
Gotcha. That's impressive.
Think about this, Nick. In what universe? I mean, obviously this one, because this is a true fact. In what universe would Red Hood and the Outlaws be a book that anyone would give two rats' asses about?
Well, looking at the previous version of it, it didn't seem like anyone that I knew was reading it, hardly.
You see what I'm
and
saying?
And now everybody who reads DC seems to be reading that, loving it, and recommending it constantly.
Yes, that is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, so good point. Great point.
Yes, yes. DC Comics. Good stuff. I also like Nikola Tesla, and he loves some DC current electricity, and so we gotta throw that in there. Yes.
I like it.
Until Edison had him killed!
Oh.
That bastard.
Hey, what did you, Did you wrap up your Wally Mart story?
Did I? Yeah, I did.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I'm just curious if you bought what you had to buy.
Yeah, a faucet.
And repaired the faucet.
Oh, that was the story. The saga of the faucet.
Yeah.
So, so we bring it home, and by that time it was late, and she's like, just do it when next time you're off. I said, great. So I was off, and totally forgot about it. And then finally I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go take a look. And I went to take a look, and I was like, yeah, this should be pretty easy. And so I start taking it apart. And there's only so much I can take it apart, Nick. You know what I mean? I don't know if you ever have you ever like worked on a sink before and a faucet?
By worked on, do you mean taking a washcloth and wrapped it around the said leaky part and just thought to myself, put a bucket underneath that. It'll be okay. You should ask me, how did that work out for you? About as good as you're thinking.
Well,
that's what I did.
I learned something new. I learned that faucets are still very much ancient technology.
Just like a toilet.
Just like a toilet. But it's very – so you have the sink. Underneath it, the sink goes into a pipe, and the pipe goes into another pipe that goes to your wall. Okay? That's where the water leaks.
Well, isn't there also – what is it called? A backstop or backflow?
Well, yeah, it's just
that
like
little, that little U-shape.
It's just like a toilet. Yes, it's just like a toilet. Yeah. It's got the little U-shape. Uh-huh. All right. Then you have the faucet, okay? Depending on what kind of faucet you have, you might have one of those fancy-dancy, like, single faucets, you know what I mean, where you can, like, turn left for hot and right for cold. Or you can have two faucets, one on each side, one for hot, one for cold. And each has a little tube that attaches to outlets that come out of the wall, one for hot, one for cold. And, all right, so that's the basic setup of a underneath a sink. So I get in there, I'm looking at it, I was like, yeah, it should be pretty easy. So I take the U thing, I take the little things off, the nuts that hold it in place, I take them off, I pull the little U piece off, and I'm looking up there, and it's very hard to get under a sink, Nick. There's not a lot of space under a sink.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like when I put in the food, whatever, what's that thing called? The food, not the compactor.
Garbage disposal.
That thing. There you go. The food cruncher, underneath the kitchen sink. That was pretty easy, like, cause we have big doors underneath the kitchen sink. But bathroom sinks, very small doors. Very small doors. And, and I mean, I've lost some weight, but I'm still not a small person. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I get in there, I'm looking, I'm like, it hurts, cause you gotta, like, get on your back. So, like, the piece, whatever that thing is called, it's just like jamming into my back, and I'm just like looking straight up with my back all bent over, and not a lot of space to move in there. And I'm like, okay, so I scope out the schematics, right? So I see like where everything is connected, how everything's connected. I was like, yeah, should be pretty easy. So I go get my tools, and I don't have a goddamn wrench in this house.
What?
I don't have a single – well, I have two wrenches in this house. One's a 10mm, one's a 12mm. The reason for that is that's the two wrenches you generally need when you work on a vehicle. So those are the ones that I have. So I don't have wrenches. So I got to go buy wrenches.
You could have bought those at Walmart.
Well, I could have. But this is like a few days later now.
Oh.
Because we were waiting for my day off. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to get some wrenches. But I was like, you know what? Let me try to get like an adjustable wrench and see if I can do it that way. So I get my adjustable wrenches and I go in there. I try to get the little connectors from the faucets to the water outlets up against the wall. Can't get them to budge. I'm like, well, goddamn. All right. For one, I just didn't have enough room to like really turn the thing. I said, well, what I'll do is I'll just take this pipe off. And see if I can just take it apart somehow. So I go to try to take this pipe off from underneath the sink, and I cannot get it off. It's a giant nut. It's like a, I don't know, like a 30 millimeter big. So like, I don't know, how big would that be? 2 inches? And I'm like trying to loosen it with my adjustable wrench, and I can't get it. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to WD-40, not WD-40. What's the thing that I used? PB grease? PB something. PB Blaster. That's what it's called. I put PB Blaster on all these nuts to loosen them. A PB Blaster is kind of like WD-40, except it's made to, like, get into, like, the little grooves in like bolts and nuts and stuff to help you loosen them. So it's easier to get them off. So it like gets in there and lubricates it so you can get it off easier. So the thing about PB Blaster though is you can't just spray it and go. Like you have to spray it and let it sit for hours. So it can, it can work itself in there. And, and I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, you know, usually like an hour or so might be okay, but this is obviously like the original sink, original faucet, all original piping from this house when it was built in 1981, the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior, 1981.
Sure.
Not 1,981 years after his birth. Anyways. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it spray over. I'm going to spray it and I'm going to leave it overnight. So
smart.
I go downstairs. She's like, and my wife's like, are you done with it? I said, no, I'm not done. I'm going to, so I told her what I was doing. She's like, okay, that's fine. So now we cut to today.
How many days later?
One day.
Okay, gotcha.
One day. So I get up in there. I have, you know, I have everything laid out. I pulled the faucet out. So you know what? I'm going to get this right now. So I'm going to pull the faucet out and see like if this attaches differently at all. And, funny how things change over the years. Cause like everything, everything on this sink underneath it, or like the faucet and the connections to the hot and cold water and the pipe underneath it, everything is like steel. This faucet that we bought, I don't know what the faucet itself is made out of, but there's like plastic parts attached to it underneath. So it's probably just like some cheap crap, like bronze or copper or something. Well, I guess copper's not cheap. Maybe like bronze or tin or something. But a lot of plastic parts. And then like the pipe that attaches underneath the sink, that's plastic. Everything's plastic. Then I realized, Nick, I'm not going to be able to reuse these metal pipes for the hot and cold water. So I'm going to have to get some new pipes. Well, guess what?
Oh no.
Guess what? Everything's plastic now. So I have to buy hoses. Steel braided hoses. Which don't attach with metal nuts. They're now plastic nuts. So I had to put that on my list. So I'm looking at it and I took the whole thing apart, put it all back together. I was like, okay, this will be pretty straightforward. So I put these hoses on my list. I go in there. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take it all apart. So when I'm done, I'll go to the store. I'll buy my wrenches. I'll buy my hoses. I'll come back, put it all together, be done. So I go and I start loosening those hoses. They come up kind of straightforward, I guess. Then I go to the big nut. Cause I want to take that pipe off. So the pipe attaches, you know, the little piece inside the sink where the water goes down. You have the little lever to make it go up and down so you can stop the water.
Yeah.
Okay. So this sink didn't have one. It was broken.
Ooh.
It's never had one since we lived here. So it was broken beforehand. So, gotcha. But that thing screws into the pipe. So you put the pipe in from the bottom and then this thing from the top and it screws in together. Okay. And depending on how they work, sometimes you need needle-nose pliers to get them out. This one had a groove inside, so I just got a screwdriver and started spinning it. And I'm spinning and spinning it, and it's not loosening. And I'm like, what the hell? And I look underneath, and every time I spin this thing, the whole pipe underneath spins. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to get the nut off. Well, I try to get the nut off, and I can't fucking get it off. So now I've got two pliers, one up top trying to get this thing off, one on the bottom trying to get the pipe off. They're just spinning together.
Oh boy.
I said, man, this is terrible. So, I was like, all right, I'm just going to come back to it. So I go and try to get the nuts up top on the pipes and then the nuts that hold the faucet to the sink. Can't get those off. They're like literally just rusted in place.
Shoot.
So I said, you know what? Not going to worry about it. Let me go get these tools. So I go, I get the wrenches, I get the hoses, I come back. Now I'm using the quote unquote correct tools. Nothing's budging. So then I say to myself, self, you need to work smart, not hard. And the easiest way to do this is going to be to not have the sink in place. So now my idea is to take the whole sink off, right? Because it's detached, right? So the faucet's detached from the pipes and the sink is detached from that U-pipe. So I can just pull it out. Well, it's not that easy because, you know, there's like a special silicone sealant or whatever to when you set the sink down. So I have to go get my razor blade and start cutting through the damn silicone, which of course is 30 something. How old is it? 37 years old. So it's not coming up very easy. It is rock hard.
Oh boy.
And I'm in there with a box cutter.
Oh, not the right tool for the job, I'm sure.
It is the right tool for the job, as a matter of fact, because I looked it up. I looked it up.
Oh, good.
It is.
Smart.
It is. And so I'm like, all right, I'm doing the right thing. Let's go back. So I start cutting, and I got a flathead screwdriver, so I would just like lever it up and then, you know, keep cutting. Eventually, mm-hmm. I got it loose. So I pull the whole sink off with the faucet still attached, turn it upside down, and I'm trying to loosen all these nuts. They are not budging.
Yeah.
So so I texted my wife. I didn't get a reply. So I called her because they had gone to the mall, of course. And so I said, all right, good news and bad news. I got this thing detached. However, I cannot detach anything from the sink. The only solution I see right now is either A, we call a plumber, or B, I go buy a new sink.
Or C, your wife brings home a Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Well, no. So C would have been to get my Dremel and just get my metal cutting tool on the Dremel and then cut the nuts off.
Right.
But that would have been like, I mean, to cut steel nuts, it would have been.
Yeah, that's a process.
At least an hour or two, and probably would have taken like 4 or 5 different discs. Cause there's like 7 or 8 different nuts and they are thick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, those are the options. She's like, well, I guess we'll just get a new sink. I said, cool. By this point, it's like, 5:30. So I run to Lowe's, which is like a 20 minute drive, something like that, 25 minute drive. I go to Lowe's. I go in there. I found a sink, super cheap. It's like $35.
Okay.
Get the sink. Get in the truck, start driving back, and then I think to myself, crap, I don't have pipe tape. So I stop by AutoZone, not a sponsor, and get some pipe tape. It's like a little paper tape that you wrap around the threads to make sure you have a watertight seal. So I get that there. It's like $1. I get back in the truck, come home. Get home. My wife's all excited. I have the sink. We're ready to go. I figure this is going to be super easy peasy. So I was going to just put the faucet in there, get everything hooked up, then throw the sink on top and then hook it to all the water and then seal it up. Right. Figured
easy peasy.
15, 20 minutes tops done.
Right. Yep.
Well, fortunately I'm smart and I think ahead sometimes. So I was like, let me make sure the sink fits in the hole. So I take the sink out of the box, set it in the hole, wrong goddamn sink.
Oh.
Because the sink that I got is a 17 by 20 sink, and the hole is 19 by 19. It's a circle.
Dang it.
Not even thinking about it. And the funny thing is, I went up there and I looked, and I saw the two different sizes. And I was like, well, surely it doesn't matter. Just one's oval and one's round. It's just like aesthetics.
Right.
Well, apparently not aesthetics.
Oops.
So I put the sink back in the box. I go back downstairs, tell my wife, I have to go back to Lowe's. I need a different size sink. So get in the truck, start going. And I was like, oh shit, where's my receipt? So I have to stop the truck, look around, find my receipt, keep driving. And, by this point, it's like 6:45. And so I'm like, I'm driving. And then I think to myself, wait a second. Today's Sunday. What time does Lowe's close?
Right.
So I get on my phone real quick and Lowe's closes at 7. And I think to myself, I try to time it, and I was like, I'm not making it by 7. It'll be like 7:05 probably at the earliest before I can make it.
Dang it.
But I'm not going to make it. So I turn around, I come back home. And my wife's like, oh, did you get the sink? I said, dude, I've been gone for like 10 minutes. I can't get all the way to Lowe's, do a refund or exchange, and come back in 10 minutes. So I explained to her the whole situation, and she's like, okay. So now I'm going to go tomorrow. I'm going to leave work at 3 so I can go to Lowe's to get a new sink and then come in and replace it.
Nice.
So hopefully by this point there will be no issues because I have all the tools, everything necessary. I will have the correct size sink.
Yeah.
All this because they could not stand the fact that the damn thing drips like 3 drops of water a minute.
Oh, you see what you're putting daddy through?
Mm-hmm. Shame on you.
Dang it.
I know your friends listen. Shame on them too, because they're laughing right now.
You know what's great about having a drippy sink? Your water pipes are never going to freeze.
That's true.
See, daddy's looking out for you.
But it was also 65 degrees today in the beginning of January, so.
Stop with the logic. Just go along with it.
Mm.
Did they at least get you a Philly cheesesteak sandwich? That's more what I need to know.
No, because I can't eat it.
Dang it. Well, you might be able to eat it. No, I'm not saying you couldn't.
I can't eat it.
You can physically still eat it.
I mean, I guess I could eat the inside of it. I just couldn't eat the hoagie.
Yeah, that is the best part of the sandwich.
Yeah, you got to have the hoagie with the rest of it.
Yeah, touche.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's my sink story. What a nightmare.
I like the sink story.
What a nightmare.
Sounds horrible, and I hate to say, being listening to that story, I thought it was going to end with, and I'm taking off tomorrow so I can fix the sink and read comic books.
Nope,
thank you.
I am leaving early. So there's that. I will need to replace the sink in the hallway bathroom, though, because that one's also been doing it. But see, I don't give two shits. Nobody uses that bathroom but me. And I don't give two shits. So all I did was, guess what I did? Guess how I fixed the problem?
How?
I turned the cold water off.
That's interesting.
So then it doesn't drip.
There you go.
See? Easy.
Smart.
But I don't care. I do want to renovate that bathroom, though. Maybe I'll take some time off soon and do that.
Sounds like you're going to have to.
I mean, not really. I just want to paint it and do some new stuff to it. Change the light fixture and, you know, the mirror and crap.
Yeah, sure. Modernize it.
Yes, modernize it. Exactly.
Maybe paint it purple and blue.
No, it'll be green.
Your daughter's favorite colors. Come on.
No, it'll be green.
What?
Mm-hmm. Green. It's a nice, relaxing color when you're in the toilet. Come on, Nick. You got to think about the psychology of poop.
Oh, God.
No? I mean, you want to be relaxed when you're on the shitter, right?
That's true. That is true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
Mm-hmm. So that's that. I think we need to talk about something, Nick.
Sure. Sign me up. That's what we're doing. We're talking.
I mean, the last time.
The psychology of poo.
this is a segue, believe it or not, from the psychology of poo. Last episode, we ended with a spoiler for this episode, and the people have been eagerly anticipating me talk about this new, I'm not calling it a diet. I'm calling it a eating lifestyle that I've partaken in.
That's what I'm doing.
And yet, here we are, 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 10 seconds later, and we have still not begun to do this. And here we are, I'm still procrastinating, not talking
about it. Sounds like something that we'll take up next episode. Okay.
But it's been very interesting, I will say, Nick. Today, I decided I wanted some goddamn chicken tenders.
Oh, those are not keto delicious.
Chicken tenders. Let me tell you the story about the chicken tenders.
Is it chicken tenders or chicken strips that are chicken breasts cut into strip size chicken tenders, but without any breading, so they're keto friendly?
I did have those at Chick-fil-A on Friday, and they were delicious.
They do unbreaded strips?
Yes.
Are they seasoned?
Yes.
I might have to look into some Chick-fil-A then.
Yeah.
Can I put it on one of their buttery biscuits and still have no carbs included on that?
No.
Damn it.
They don't have the tenders. They do the nuggets.
Oh, the nugs. All right.
Grilled nuggets. So I'm thinking to myself, like, what do I want? And I was like, I just went to Chick-fil-A. I don't want that. There's very few places I can get food at. I guess I should explain why. We'll get to that in a second. So I decide I'm going to go to McDonald's, because McDonald's, as much as I hate them, has chicken tenders. And I want some goddamn chicken tenders. So I go, I didn't want chicken tenders yet. I wanted chicken tenders, but I was like, I'm going to get a grilled chicken salad or something like that, right? I get there, and I look at the menu, and I was like, I don't want chicken salad. I'm going to get these goddamn tenders. And I look, and I see like a 6-piece tender, and I was like, that's what I'm going to get. 6-piece tender and a drink. So the girl asked for my order. I tell her 6-piece tender. Oh no, I didn't say a 6-piece tender. I don't remember the number on it. It's like number 10. I said, I want a number 10 with a Diet Coke.
So like, you're getting fries with that.
Well, and so she says, do you want the combo, the meal, or just the tenders? And I said, oh, crap, you're right. Just the tenders. Okay. So.
What kind of sauce did you get with that?
Well, so she says, all right, do you want 6-piece, 8-piece, or 10-piece?
10-piece.
And
of course.
I said, wait a second. There's a 10-piece? That's not on the menu. The menu is like 6-piece. She's like, yeah, you can do 3, 4, 6, 8, or 10.
Did she also say that the chicken nugs are on the 2-for-4 menu?
No.
What?
No.
She didn't try to upsell you on that?
Nope.
Wow.
So, I says to myself, self, you are very hungry right now.
You are.
Because I started doing intermittent fasting. So, I ate last night at 9 o'clock, I think, roughly, is when I ate my last bit of food. And I'm doing 16-8. So I couldn't eat today until like 1:30 or 2 o'clock.
And what does that mean? 16-8. That means you have to go 16 hours and then you go another 8 hours.
So 16 hours you don't eat.
Yeah.
And then for the next 8 hours you just eat your normal food.
But you're on this keto diet, so it has to be keto centric, right?
Correct.
Ooh, holy mackerel! I don't know if you're feeding that body machine of yours enough.
Well, we're gonna get there. So okay. I was like, right. I'm freaking hungry. Yeah. So I said, I'm going to get the 10 piece. She said, all right. So I go, I pay, and I get to – let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I have never spent this much money just on my food at McDonald's.
Because
I didn't
pay
attention. She told me the total. I was like, yeah. I just pulled up. I get to the window. It was like $11.65.
Jeez, a 10 piece and a drink?
For a 10 piece tenders and a medium Diet Coke.
You know, you could have got a large for the same price. What are you doing?
I could have, but I didn't.
But you're a hungry man.
I was hungry, not thirsty. I had water in the truck.
But you know those sodium ladle nugs, they're going to be kind of thirsty.
Well, I mean, it's fine. Whatever. I was out running errands, so like it didn't matter. If I got thirsty, I'd get something somewhere else. So I get the 10 piece. And one thing that I've been very diligent on since I started doing the keto thing, and people still have no idea what I'm talking about with this keto thing.
I know. You're taking them to step 7 instead of step 1.
Look, I'm trying to build a narrative here.
All right. Weave your tail.
Okay.
And I still don't even know what sauce you ordered with. I mean, this is all.
Oh, no sauce.
Are you speaking in a memento style of screenplay right now? What the hell's going on over there?
I love that movie. Matter of fact, I'm going to watch that when we're done recording.
Okay, go ahead.
I love that movie.
No sauce? That is, well, you're already screwing your keto diet just by the chicken bits alone, right?
Mm-mm.
I thought keto, you couldn't have breading.
This is where it gets interesting.
Oh, boy.
So I've been very diligent since starting this keto diet of tracking what I'm eating. Mm-hmm. And I don't plan on doing this forever, but at least until I get used to like eating certain things that I'm used to not eating all the time, I want to be able to kind of figure out how to stay in ketosis. And I'm throwing out another term that people have no idea what I'm talking about.
Son of a bitch.
It's fine.
Why don't you just say keto flu or bad breath as well? Those are the only
all
other
right, you
know, two
fine,
things I know
fine.
From keto.
Let me explain keto real quick.
I am not quick. I am not allowed. I'm going to hang up right now. You are going to finish your goddamn McDonald's nugs story and then go into keto.
All
feel
right, fine,
free.
Good.
Talk as much as you want. I'll even mute myself from this point forward.
No, it's fine because
finish.
I was about to explain keto when we get to this next step.
You just talk your way through your McDonald's thing. your 10 nuggets. That's good.
All right. So I pay. I get my nuggets. My goddamn expensive nuggets. And the thing is, on the menu, it didn't say that, right? It was like $6.69, I think, or whatever. $6.49.
Still.
Well, it's like the crispy buttermilk tender. Whatever.
Oh, they're the fancy ones.
The fancy ones.
That look like strips, not the nuggets.
Right. Yeah,
okay,
they're big. They're big.
But still a buck a strip, motherfucker.
But see, I didn't realize any of this. So I pay, and she's like, yeah, $11.65. I was like, God damn, for chicken and a Coke?
All right, is there gold dust? What's going on over here?
So, whatever. I pay. I was like, okay. And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, like, I should pay more attention. Because it didn't say that on the menu, right? Because on the menu, it's a 6-piece. But I got a 10-piece.
Damn it.
And so then I do the math, and it kind of makes sense, right? So, all right. Matter of fact, it was obviously cheaper to get 10-piece than to get a 6-piece. So I pay. I go to the second window. The girl gives me my drink. I put my straw in it. And then she's like, here's your tenders. And I look at and it's a fucking giant box.
Really?
It is a big box. This box has to be like 8x8x4.
Is it as big as the Kentucky Fried Chicken $5 meal box?
I've never had that.
It almost is the size of like a box that you would get new shoes put into. It's gigantic. Right, way too big.
This box, you've had the $5 box at Taco Bell.
Yes.
Okay, it's about the size of that box, except taller.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I said, because she gave me the box, and I said, holy shit.
Is it stacked all the way full with strips, or is it like one layer of strips, and you can sort of see where there should be two sauces put in?
No, it's just the strips, just the tenders.
Stacked full.
Yeah.
They're big strips.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had these strips. Okay.
So now I realize why I just spent $11 on 10 fucking chicken tenders.
2 pounds of chicken.
Literally, yes, 2 pounds of chicken.
Now you got, hey, you're a big boy. You have to eat all 12 pounds of chicken.
Well, but so now I'm excited because I'm like, hell yeah. So it's a nice box too. Like it's got the little flip out on top. You know, like the kids' meals?
Mm-hmm.
How they have the little flaps on the side.
Yeah, sure.
It's like that mechanism on the top.
So you took it home to put your miscellaneous rubber bands in the garage.
No, definitely not. So I'm very excited. I have this big old box and full of chicken. I'm like, hell yeah. So I'm driving. I'm running errands, right? So I'm driving. I open the box up and I eat a chicken tender and it's fucking delicious. Like banging delicious. Like really good. Highly recommend you check out these tenders.
Huh. Okay.
So I eat one. I'm like, this is really good. Of course, I'm getting thirsty because it's very salty. Take a sip.
See?
I get another tender, and I eat that. And then I think to myself, wait a second. This is not keto friendly. Because of all the breading.
Yes.
So I've been very diligent since I started doing this keto thing of logging all my food, as I said. So I look up, I go into input it into my app before I continue eating these tenders. Okay, I've only had two so far. I go put it in my app.
Do they have the tenders listed as well as the nuggets, or are you using the old nuggets?
No, they have the tenders listed.
Okay, cool.
So I put them in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember all the exact nutritional values for everything. Yeah, however,
is it color-coded? Is it all – everything is like – pinned red all the way to the right, like great, good, moderate, not too good, complete garbage all the way to the right.
Well, and the cool thing is all pinned. Well, it gives you a rating, like a keto rating for the food, for everything.
Oh, okay.
A, B, C, D, F. And it's like an F.
Of course.
And I'm like, holy shit, I just spent nearly $12 on this and I can't eat it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm running errands, so I don't want to like bring it home and give it to the kids or my wife or whatever. I was like, I'm determined to eat this goddamn chicken.
At this point, Ronald McDonald is sticking his tongue out at you just by having you not eat his food, and yet the smell of the wonderful food is in that damn truck of yours.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're screwed,
mm-hmm.
Ronald McDonald,
and especially now because it's very fatty, right? Because it's deep fried.
Oh, hell yeah.
One thing that now that I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm just like in full ketosis, I crave fatty shit. Like if I smell something that's fatty, I have to eat it. Mm. We'll get to more of that in a few. So I want to eat these goddamn chicken tenders.
Yeah.
But I can't. They're rated an F.
Dang it.
I'm going to give you basic, the four things that will jump at you. Okay. I don't care about the calorie count, but I'll give it to you anyway.
Sure.
I'm more concerned about the breakdown between fat, protein, and carbs.
Wait, are you talking these strips?
Yes. A 10-piece
McDonald's
10-piece buttermilk crispy chicken tenders. I think that's what it's called.
Okay, the four things that would jump out at me just being god-awful horrible for you? Is that what you're going to tell me? Because I want to guess them.
Oh, you can guess. Go ahead.
Okay. Even if you don't care, like the fat. The fat has to jump out at you. Even though you don't care about that, it has to jump out. Because it's deep fried.
However, for me, it doesn't jump out because I'm doing keto. And keto is very high fat.
But I'm guessing these four factors.
All right, continue. Yes, fat, number one. Correct.
Fat, calories, sodium.
Okay.
What would the fourth be? Oh, man. I'm not even thinking sauces, but I'm guessing if you added in the sauce, it would be sugar. The amount of sugar. But probably carbs.
Okay. So two out of three ain't bad. All right. So
yeah, I'll take two out of three.
Or whatever, two out of four. I don't really care too much about the sodium. My diet's actually very low in sodium.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll get to that in a few as well.
Sure.
But what I really care about is fat, protein, and carbs. Okay. I have like a certain number of calories that I'm eating a day.
Do you want high protein or low protein?
So there's different styles of low carb. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The most popular low carb diet is Atkins, popular in the 90s, mm-hmm. 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The new thing is keto. And the way that current keto breaks it down generally is 70% fat, 25% protein, 5% carbs.
Okay.
So that's the recommended breakdown. And that's basically what I've been sticking to. I think mine's actually higher fat. It's 75% fat, 20% protein, 22% protein, 3% carb is what I'm doing.
Okay.
So that's what I look for when I look at food and when I prepare food. So I put this thing in and I'm going to read you some numbers. I don't remember the exact numbers, but this is roughly correct.
Okay.
All right. Some people will freak out when I give you a calorie count. Again, I don't care about the calorie count.
Right.
Calories in a 10 piece buttermilk crispy chicken tenders from McDonald's.
Yeah.
Take a guess.
Ooh, 10 pieces. And you said they're big.
Yes.
Ho. I'm going to go 4,800.
Yikes. That's pretty high. No. 4,800. Right. Wow. That's huge.
I'm doing some math over here.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
I'm doing math.
Well, obviously not as bad as you thought.
Good.
But a 10-piece has about 1,300 calories.
But put it into the guise of calories is in a Big Mac.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. I think a Big Mac's got like 800 or 900 calories.
Yeah, so it's not far off, even though that's a lot of calories.
Yeah.
But still.
But however, I mean like the...
But that's 10 pieces.
Yes.
You're not talking about like serving size. Like, is that serving size of 10 pieces considered one serving size? Or is that a serving size for 3-4 people?
Oh, dude, this app that I'm using is fucking awesome. It does all the calculations for you.
So 10 pieces, that's 1,300.
So what I do is you can just look up whatever the food is. So whatever, McDonald's chicken tenders. And then it gives you the options. You pick the option and then it brings you to your serving size. And you can do like one nugget, 1.5 nuggets, 1¾ nuggets, like 1 ounce, 10 ounces, like 5 tablespoons, whatever. And it just automatically breaks it down. It changes.
So how many strips is that 1,300?
The 10 strips.
Really? So it's 130 a strip?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot for one strip.
It is. So 1,300 calories for 10 strips.
Okay.
Then I'm like, whatever. Like, I haven't eaten since yesterday, so I'm not really worried about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I get to the fat content.
Mm-hmm.
100 grams of fat.
Oh, see, I would have shot low on that.
Oh, yeah?
I was thinking upper 60s.
Okay. Yeah, it was like 95 grams of fat, something like that. So we'll just say 100.
Sure.
Then I get to the protein, and it was like 100 and something grams of protein.
And what are you basically shooting for per meal for protein?
I'm not doing per meal. I'm trying to do a certain amount per day as a whole.
Gotcha. Okay.
Damn, I don't have my phone here. But I think what it breaks down to for what I'm doing, it's 200 grams of fat, 120 grams of protein, something like that. And then like 30 grams of carbs.
And how many of these strips did you have?
Two so far.
Wow.
Yes.
Damn.
So far.
Okay. Holy Christ.
So then we get
But that also, so let me guess, the two strips, you're not full.
No.
And that only made you more hungry. Because now you have dry mouth because of the sodium, blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, now I'm less hungry. Because now I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, did I just fuck up my keto?
I would just think that the food would gear your stomach up like, ooh, there's food coming in. Let's go. Mm. I know mentally you can poo-poo that.
Yes,
but
yes.
I'm guessing your tummy is like, ah, food. We've been waiting for so long.
Yes.
16 hours.
Yes. So,
oh, God.
So 100 and something grams of protein. Very high because it's chicken. Chicken's very high in protein. That's why bodybuilders just eat like 10 pounds of chicken a day.
Right.
But the thing that I'm most concerned about is carbs, which is the underlying most important thing about keto. And so I look at the carbs, and a 10-piece chicken tender from McDonald's is 52 grams of carbs.
Oh, holy Christ. Okay?
So by eating this, I am nowhere near my fat intake, nowhere near my protein intake, but I'm like double my carbs.
Yeah. All
right. So this is where we get to talk about what the hell keto is, since we've been talking about it for 23 minutes.
Yeah.
And we also talked about it for 10 minutes last episode.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the basic gist of it. Keto is developed to treat people with seizures, kids with seizures. Because by lowering your carbs, somehow it just gets rid of seizures. So the diet was very different then. I mean, the basic concept is the same, but it was very different in the way that it was done back then. Now it's kind of gotten down to a science, even though there's a few different variations of it. A lot of athletes do keto. What's that guy that played football and then he got cut and nobody brought him in, so he went to play like little league hockey? Yeah, I went to see him. Not little league hockey, but like minors, hockey minors. He was actually playing for one of the local teams here. He was playing hockey.
Weird. Okay.
Tim Tebow, that's him.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, Tebow does keto. A lot of athletes do keto. Sure. Because it just, we'll get to that later. So you have extremely low carb intake. And again, like I said, mine is about like 3 to 5%. So it comes down to about 30 grams of carbs in a day. And you might think to yourself, like, whatever, that sounds like a lot, 30. But it's not. Like, before we started recording, I wanted a snack. And so I'm looking through the pantry and I saw cranberries. And I'm like, ah, that's a healthy snack, full of antioxidants, right? Full of vitamins. But then I thought to myself, very sweet also. So I checked the nutritional label and like, a teaspoon of cranberries is like 33 grams of carbs.
Okay. Yeah.
Very high. And you know this because, you know, I've kind of made fun of you that you were going to turn into a chicken sausage, but you've been kind of doing something similar. I don't know if like you're in full keto, but you're definitely doing very low carb.
No, I'm not doing keto at all.
Yeah.
I eat about between 30 and 40 carbs a meal.
There you go.
And for snacks, if I wanted 2 snacks a day, I could have up to 20 carbs per snack.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not close to keto, but let's put it this way. The amount of carbs that I have, even that, to get under that amount of carbs per meal is rough. So for you to do the same amount for your entire day, holy guacamole.
So for anyone listening, just to give you an example, a cup of cooked pasta – has roughly 40 to 45 grams of carbs. One cup of pasta.
And that's without adding any, like, just go and look at serving size, one serving of any, like, canned or jarred pasta sauce that you would dump over your pasta.
Sure.
Most of that is so sugary that your carb intake would be crazy when you add all that together.
Yep. So very low carb. And the reason for that is it changes like the way your body works, basically. So obviously the reason you eat sugary stuff, okay, carbs are better than just sugar, but I mean, carb is basically sugar, is because your brain only uses sugar for food. Okay. So your brain cannot use protein. It cannot use fat. It can only use carbs. However, there is another thing that your brain can use, and that is ketones. And so that's why it's called the keto diet, because it changes your body from using sugar as food into using ketones as food. And ketones are, to simplify it extremely, okay, for those of you that are doing this and know anything about it, I'm not saying this is what it is, but to simplify for everybody else, it's basically like an alcohol, like an ether, okay? And so the point of the diet is to get your body to not use carbs, to use fat as the fuel source, and by doing that, the body converts fat into ketones, and then your brain can use that. And regardless of how big you are, your brain, this is probably a contested fact for some very dumb people, but your brain uses the majority of your body's energy, okay, or at least a large chunk of it. It is very expensive to have a brain. So the keto diet changes your body from using sugar into using fat as a fuel source. Fat is more energy dense, so there's like four calories in 1 gram of carbs. There's 9 calories in 1 gram of fat. So as a result, you also end up eating less, but maybe just as nutrient rich. So because of that, you have to make certain conscious decisions about what you eat. And as a result, you do end up eating a lot better. And it's not to say that I'm not eating. I eat a lot. I'm eating like 2,500 calories a day. Again, mostly fat. So 200 grams of fat roughly. And, I didn't really have a problem with it, Nick, let me tell you. So I'd been dabbling with the chicken sausage thing for like a couple weeks as you were doing it. And finally I was just like, I'm just going to fucking go all keto. I'm going to go full keto. So I did a lot of research for like a week and like what to do, what not to do, how to do it properly. And that's when I decided like I have to be logging what I'm eating. So like I'm not fucking this up. So basically, my grocery shopping entails a shit ton of kale, a shit ton of spinach, a shit ton of broccoli, a shit ton of cabbage. Like, those are my basic vegetable staples. And I eat a ton of those. Did I tell you the story about when we went to, oh God, what's the name of the place? I don't remember the name of the place, but it's an all-you-can-eat pizza place.
CC's.
I told you that story, right?
Yep. Okay. But I don't know if it was on the podcast or not.
Oh shit, it might have been after. Okay. I'm eating a lot. So those are my basic foods. Because they're leafy greens and they're the most nutrient rich vegetables you can get. Okay. They're extremely low in calories. They're extremely low in carbs. Like most of them have like a gram of carbs per serving. Like a bowl of kale is like less than a gram of carbs. And then just a lot of meat products. So like full fat ground beef. I've eaten like 4 ribeye steaks this week. I haven't had steaks in like months. I had like 4 ribeyes this week, a lot of chicken. But you have to be careful because you don't want to do like, you want high protein, but the main thing is fat. You want a lot of fat. So as a result, I'm eating a lot of bacon, and I save all the bacon fat. I have my wife hates it. I have a mason jar. Every time I cook bacon, which is at least once a day, sometimes more, I take the fat drippings and I just put them in this jar. And so when I'm cooking something, I take a spoon and I spoon out a spoonful of bacon fat. I throw it in and then I cook whatever I'm cooking in that bacon fat. Yeah. Matter of fact, that's why I ended up making, did I tell you I made mayonnaise?
No.
Yeah. So I ended up making mayonnaise because we had, the kids want to do taco night. And of course I can't eat tortillas because they're very high in carbs. So I had to find a tortilla substitute and, I ended up doing, it's egg whites and coconut flour. They look and feel and have the texture exactly of tortillas, but they taste nothing like tortillas. But weird. By that point, like it doesn't matter, right? Like it's more about the stuff inside the taco than it is the shell. Anyways. So I had leftover yolks because there were egg whites only on the tortillas that I made. And I was like, what the hell am I going to do with these yolks? And I was like, of course, I'm going to make me some mayonnaise. So I got the egg yolks. It's like 8 egg yolks, like a cup of olive oil, teaspoon of coconut oil and an avocado. I think it was like 2 or 3 tablespoons of lime juice, a tablespoon of white vinegar. And I just put it in the blender and it was fucking delicious. That was my sauce for everything. Like if something, I was like, it's a little dry, let me put something on it. Bam! Avocado mayonnaise. it's fantastic. So.
Sounds good.
That's good and very high in fat. What was I going? Oh, yeah, yeah. So 30 grams of carbs. And the first couple of days it was pretty easy, actually. Aside from the fact that, like, I didn't know what the hell to do at work. Cause, like, now I can't just go to the corner store and get something, like some junk, you know what I mean? I tried that the first day and there was literally nothing I could get there. I ended up buying, a little bag of cashews. And, so it's a lot more like concerted effort, you know what I mean? And trying to keep the carbs down. Cause once you go above like your limit for carbs, then your body's not in ketosis anymore. You're burning carbs now. So now you gotta start the whole process over again. And,
that doesn't sound fun.
And it sucks. Number one, it sucks because of the keto breath. When you start going ketosis, your breath smells like paint thinner. And it is terrible. It goes away after a couple of days, but like, it's good to know that you're there, but let me tell you, Nick, it was fucking garbage. And of course, being a smoker, it was even worse. Because add on top of that, the taste of cigarette smoke on top of the paint thinner smell, it was just horrible. So I decided to quit smoking. That was kind of a side effect of it. And I've been doing good. I haven't completely quit, but I've cut down a whole lot. And, maybe over the next couple of weeks, I'll be able to fully quit. I just don't know, like, the proper way to do it. Cause I've tried patches before and they just make me want to smoke more. So I'm not doing that. But so I got that paint thinner breath and I was like, hell yeah, I got it. Except everything tastes like paint thinner. But you know, you work through it. It only lasts like a day or two. And it was good. And ever since then, like, it's great. And let me tell you, I'm doing it for health reasons. This is not like a weight loss thing. There is weight loss attached and I have lost some weight, but I'm doing it more just to feel better. You know what I mean? The one thing that I noticed, and I texted you about this, and we haven't talked about this yet, but I was talking to my wife about it. I was at work, and I could get literally nothing done. This is like, I guess a day or so after I went like full ketosis. Just my head was just so clear. You know what I mean? Like I could just analyze everything so easily and quickly that I couldn't get anything done at work. Because I was just like problem solving other things that I like never even bothered to think about. But like now I had this mental clarity where I was just like, huh, this is what I need to do and do it this way. And I would have like a whole plan from beginning to end on how to fix that thing and then move to the next thing. And I just couldn't get any work done. So I texted my wife and I said, oh God, what the hell did I say? Damn, I wish I had my phone with me. But I told her like, something to the effect of this, like the level of mental clarity. And she says to me, are you smoking weed? And I said, God damn, I haven't smoked weed in like 20 years. No, I'm not smoking weed. But it was really interesting. You know what I mean? Like just to have so much focus.
Yeah.
Right. Cause a lot of times you have to like force yourself to focus.
Mm-hmm.
I have to force myself not to focus. It's a little disconcerting. I've gotten used to it now, but it was a little disconcerting for a few days. Cause I was just like analyzing everything. What's that? Oh God, what's that movie? There was a movie. Maybe it was a cartoon. No, it was definitely a movie. Oh.
No, it was that movie with Bradley Pitt or not Bradley Cooper and, Robert De Niro.
Limitless.
There you go.
Limitless. Yeah. See, you read my fucking mind again. God damn it. Limitless. Yeah. Where like he sees something and just like can break down how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how I was feeling. And it was extremely disconcerting.
It's very strange.
Yes.
To say the least.
Yes. So my wife thought I was high and obviously I wasn't. I was high on life. I was high on ketones.
Right.
But yeah, it was just the clarity was freaking awesome. And like no coffee because I didn't know if I could drink coffee or not. So I hadn't drank coffee. I had no caffeine in my system. No Diet Cokes or anything. Like this is the one that I got with my chicken tenders was the first time I had a Diet Coke in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was just like crazy focus. And so that's been really nice. Also not very nice in some ways. Cause you're like, you know, sometimes you start thinking and you like go down rabbit holes.
Oh yeah.
But like just the rabbit holes just go so quickly. Just like bam, 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 bam. Okay, that's done. Next one.
When you get that feeling, probably the best thing you could possibly do is just head down a rabbit hole and start like creative writing.
So I've been doing that.
Yeah, it can doing one activity like that instead of like playing a video game or trying to read, your brain will start firing in like many different directions. But if you direct it into that type of an activity, it seems like it harnesses it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. At least it did for me.
Yep. Yeah, I've been doing that. And part of that is it's kind of serendipity, I guess. Because I wanted to do NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month, which is November. Mm. And because of my schedule, it didn't happen. And I had talked to Sparky about being my partner in NaNoWriMo, and it didn't work out for him either. But now things have settled down for him, and he started writing. And so, like, every few days he's messaging me, like, hey, I wrote 500 words. Hey, I wrote 3,000 words last night. And now I have this focus. So, like, him doing that, I'm just like, well, that's what I need to put my energy on.
Yeah.
So I did like 2,500 words last night. So that was good. I don't know if I'll get a chance to work on that tonight because it's already late, but, so it's been good. And then I find myself like other things change as a result. So as you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and some are just like background noise podcasts. And, I found like some of these background noise podcasts, I don't even want to listen to, like they'll come up and my mind is so clear that I'm paying more attention. I'm like, this is not even interesting. So I unsubscribe from like 10 podcasts.
Yeah, it almost like some of them, at least for me, that went a little slower or that went at a pace that was almost too fast, like both extremes, threw me off. Like I became impatient with one, and then if one was a little bit too fast-paced, it would sort of, wire me up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like it revved up my head too much that I was just like, oh my God, I have to stop this. Mm. Like it would almost send me off like a top spinning.
Yeah.
Send me off in a direction I didn't want to go down.
I got you.
So yeah, I backed out of quite a few. I totally understand what you're talking about.
Yep. Yeah. I started listening to some at like 1.5. I was cooking dinner the other night and I had one and I couldn't find my headphones. So I put my phone on my shoulder underneath my shirt. And it's at 1.5, and my wife comes in there to see what I was doing. She's like, what are you listening to? I was like, a podcast. She's like, why is it so fast? And I was like, I don't know, is it? Like, it seems fine to me.
You're running at 1.5. That's the issue.
Yeah, probably. Probably. and like, I'm just hot all the time too. And I'm eating a ton, dude. Like, so that night I made cabbage stir fry with ground beef, and it was fucking delicious. I had it for lunch the next day too. I chopped up a whole head of cabbage. I fried it in like half a cup of butter. I pulled it out, then I fried the beef, just salt and pepper, nothing else. And then I pulled it out, mixed it in with the cabbage, and then I made a sauce. And originally I was going to do a blue cheese sauce, but I didn't have blue cheese. So it was I did a cup of whipping cream, heavy whipping cream, a cup of mozzarella cheese, and half a cup of Parmesan, and it was fucking delicious. And I threw it on the cabbage and mixed it all up. Holy shit. and like very high in fat, very high in fat.
I'm sure.
But it was delicious. And so I wanted to talk about this last time. This has been kind of a long-winded way to get there. But I think my favorite thing, you know, we talk about food all the time on the show. And cooking, how much I enjoy it, how much you enjoy it. I find myself like really enjoying it now because I'm cooking up things that I've never really cooked before. I mean, some things are like fairly straightforward, right? Like cooking a steak or whatever. But sometimes you have to like be creative, right? So like, how can I make this taste this way when I can't have fucking carbs? So you have to like start playing around a lot more. You know what I mean? And it's just, that's the fun part of cooking that it, after a while, you just kind of don't have that when you get used to cooking the same kind of things all the time. It just, you get kind of zen, but it's more like, you're repeating steps, right? And now I feel myself like thinking about like, how do I do this or that? And, like, can I cook this a different way? Like, what ingredient can I add instead of this one? And it just makes it a lot more fun. So I've been having a ball doing that. Even though I eat a shit ton of bacon. I think I've cooked bacon like 15 different ways in the past couple of weeks. Just to see like
what the best pack? Do you cook up a whole pack at a time?
No. I'm doing 5 strips at a time. So when I eat it, I do 5 strips at a time.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's good. It's very good. I love it. And so one thing that I realized is I don't even crave like sugary stuff, which is weird, right? Like for a couple of days I did, and now I just crave like really fatty stuff. Like we were trying to figure out what to do for dinner last night, and I was like, what was that place where I got that bone marrow burger? I want to go there. And, yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I love nuts now. I've never liked nuts. Like ever. Like if they're there, I'll eat some. Right now I'm just eating, macadamia nuts.
Ah, like you said, high in, but
yeah,
still
very high in fat, very low in carbs. And they're, until this thing, Nick, I had never in my life had a macadamia nut that was not in a cookie.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. And so now I go through I gotta go to Costco and get, they have the giant bags of macadamias for like 20 bucks. It's like, 3 pounds of macadamia nuts. It's a steal. It is. Yeah, so if you go to the store, I've been getting some at the store to snack on at work, and it's like 7-8 bucks for 4 ounces. Oh,
yeah, they're pricey.
Yeah, they're very expensive. But they're delicious.
And of course, it says like the 4 ounces is like 3 servings, and it's like, yeah, not on this diet. Hell no. It's that's 1 serving, kid.
Yeah, 1 bag is 4 servings, I think.
Yeah, as you eat the entire thing.
Well,
I
eat half today, half tomorrow.
Ah, very good.
Mm-hmm. But that's something that I would never do before. You know what I mean? Like, you're always told, don't eat a whole lot of nuts. They're very high in fat. You're going to get fat if you eat nuts. Well, guess what? That's what I'm supposed to do.
That's what they're telling me to do.
That's what they're telling me to do. So I did that the first week just to see how it was. And then I went to ketosis and just a lot of, like, cool benefits on the side, right? Like the mental clarity, just like not craving sugary stuff. The fact that I'm really enjoying cooking up food again. And then I just want to like progress. So, yesterday I started doing intermittent fasting. So I'm doing 16-hour fast, eat within 8 hours. Which I'm telling you everything that I ate, and I do that in 8 hours, right? So in 2 meals instead of 3, basically. So I eat like a shit ton. So we didn't talk about this. I don't think recorded. If I did, I apologize. But like the second or third day, the kids want to go get pizza and we go to this old you can eat pizza place and I can't eat pizza because it's just fucking bread. So I had like 5 or 6 bowls of salad, just like loaded, every single one loaded with just olives and, blue cheese dressing or ranch dressing. 5 or 6 of them. And then I would take like, I got pizzas and I'd rip the toppings off and the cheese off and I just threw it in my salad. And Nick, literally like we drove home and 30 minutes later, I was fucking starving. like my stomach was growling. You know that feeling you get when you're hungry? I was like, oh my God, I feel like I haven't eaten in days.
Oh yeah.
So I made like 6 eggs and the 5 strips of bacon. And I had that and I felt good after that.
So the yolks are fine.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Bring it on. The more yolks, extra yolk, double yolk.
Are you getting used to that hungry feeling?
It's starting to subside a little bit.
Cause I'm sort of, I don't know if it subsides. I just, whenever I get it, I sort of just, I become zen with it.
Yeah.
And where before ever jumping on this lifestyle change, if I at all was a little hungry, I'd be like, what can I eat? Let me look in the snacks and just like fill that. Where now it's just like, this is sort of what I have to do. And I mean, I always equate it to a machine and just like, well, the machine's working right now. It's burning calories and fat and doing what it's supposed to do. I shouldn't always be feeding it food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But, yeah, that's the other
thing.
But
didn't you also say with your CC pizza?
Yeah.
Didn't you also say you scraped off all the toppings on umpteen slices and just ate that as well?
Yeah, I had like 6 or 7 slices and I just took the bread and the pepperoni and sausage off and just chopped it up and threw it in my salad. And then, so there's like a plate with just like a stack of pizzas with no crust. And I said to my wife, I said, they're going to come and get my plate and think I'm the weirdest motherfucker in the world because I'm just eating pizza toppings.
Usually people love the crust of the pizza. Yeah. You're just the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
So that's been fun. And the cool thing too, though, is I feel like I can, dude, I eat so much. Like when I'm eating, I'm like, there's no way I'm doing this right because I'm eating so much food, but like I still get very hungry. And like, you know, high in fats, a very like calorie dense food. And then no matter how much I eat, like I'm always doing big servings. I never get that, like, you know, that feeling like when you have like Thanksgiving dinner, you know what I mean? You have like three plates, four plates of food and you're just like bursting at the seam. You gotta like unbutton your pants and like your stomach hurts because you ate so much food. A lot of times I would feel that way just like on a normal meal, right? Like if it's a bowl of pasta, just be like,
oh for sure.
I'm so full, right? And you just want to sit and just do nothing.
You feel ill.
Yeah. I don't get that. Yeah. No matter like how much I eat.
And that's kind of weird. I just never feel sick to my stomach. Bad. Like I overindulge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a nice feeling too. And I don't know. We'll see. I think I've lost like 7 or 8 pounds in, I don't know how long I've been doing it. 2 weeks, I think, almost. And we'll see. Like I said, I'm not really doing it for the weight loss. It's a nice side effect, because I am overweight. But whatever.
Same here. I'm exactly in the same boat. I'm not doing it to lose weight, even though it's great that I do lose weight. But I'm losing it a lot slower than you.
Yeah.
But it also, I should be losing it slower than you because you probably are bringing in a lot less carbs in your daily intake too.
Yeah, I've done pretty good. Today I'm like a couple grams over because of those goddamn delicious chicken tenders. Oh, by the way, I did eat all of them. What I ended up doing is I pulled over on the side of the road and I scraped half the batter of each of the remaining ones.
You sound like a crazy person now.
So I still got that delicious crunch, but I didn't go over my carb allotment.
I like the idea of Chick-fil-A no breading.
Those chicken nuggets were freaking good.
Because I don't mind spending $20 on a big plate of those.
Yeah, they were good. I think you can get an 8-piece or a 12-piece on those. They're really good.
I can protein it up as much as I want.
Yep, there you go. They come in a little, you know, when you get nuggets at Chick-fil-A, they come in a little box.
Mm-hmm.
When you get the grilled ones, they don't come in a box. They come in a little, like a plastic Tupperware container.
Weird.
Yeah. I probably to keep them moist because they're very moist.
Mm, okay.
I think they steam them.
Ah, interesting.
Yep.
I just tried a new chicken sausage today. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it is a chicken buffalo chicken style sausage.
Nice.
It's from Boar's Head, that real bougie lunch meat place. So I was like, ooh, this has got to taste pretty damn good. But doing it as a quote-unquote breakfast sausage, it's the size of a regular sausage, like a regular Italian sausage. Mm. But doing it for a quote-unquote breakfast time sausage, I don't know if I want the seasonings and the flavor of a buffalo chicken anything in my breakfast. That's a little too early to be hit with all that flavor.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But if I had it for lunch, I'm sure I would. It was really seasoned nicely.
Hmm.
But it's still hard to beat the Gilbert sausage from Costco. The Gilbert's Caprese sausage with a little basil, a little mozzarella, a little tomato. Oh man, it's good. That's still the winner.
Nice. Yeah. So it's been interesting. It's been very interesting, Nick.
I'm happy for you. I think you're dealing with the ups and downs pretty well.
Well, and I just feel so good. You know what I mean? Like I have so much energy.
I like the clarity of thought and the energy certainly helps. And, if you don't mind, I'm going to derail for just a minute. When we were at Costco last week, the wife, I went off to get, cause I'm usually in charge of grabbing the toiletry stuff the paper products. So I zipped over and got the toilet paper, Kleenex or facial tissue if you don't want to use a brand, and paper towels. That's always a staple whenever we go to Costco. So I was coming back with the cart, and I knew where I was supposed to meet the wife. So I was coming up like past the like the cheese area, and I was supposed to meet her like right before you get to like all of the clothing that they had. And I'm looking around for her, and then all of a sudden I spot her, and she's sitting on this exercise. What the hell is it called? It's like a mashup. It's like two exercise items in one. So it's a recumbent bike and a Jesus Christ, what the hell are they called? Oh, I'm drawing a blank. It's like a stepper. And I came up on her and I was like, hey, what's going on? Not knowing what the heck she's doing or which why she's looking at this, you know, exercise bike type thing. And she's like, I wonder if this would help, because she needs to work out for her blood, to thin out her blood, because they're worried about her getting blood clots. So she's like, I wonder if this would be a good thing, because just walking downstairs isn't really doing it. I'm not inspired to do it. So sure enough, we went back the next day and purchased it and assembled it. And like you said, with your increase of energy as well as clarity of thought, I have been on that bike the only times I take a break is when me and you are discussing, an episode, talking for an episode. So those are the only days that I take a break. Other than that, I'm up there on the bike or on the elliptical, doing some workouts, trying to better myself a little bit, which is pretty exciting because I haven't done that in quite a while. Did you just fall off?
Oh, sorry. I forgot I was a mute.
Uh-oh.
I was eating nuts.
Of course. Your favorite.
So, I think I'm going to start doing that like this week, because I don't want to do everything at once. You know what I mean?
Doing what?
Well, just doing this keto thing is such a big change from what I was doing before.
Yeah.
That I didn't want to make too many changes at once. You know
well,
what I mean?
As well as cutting down on your smoking.
Right, right. So I started doing this, the intermittent fasting thing. So I'm going to try that for a couple days. And I think once I'm done with that, I'm going to start, I don't know if I'm going to go to the gym or what. I haven't decided that yet. But I definitely want to add some kind of workout routine. Even if it's just like maybe just walking, you know, before I go to work or when I get home or whatever. I do want to add something like that.
It definitely, I think it would help you with the excess energy that you're feeling right now.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, even because I was debating when I started this lifestyle change, I was debating, the first couple days that I started it, I was like, I'm going to give, and I think I told you this, I'm going to give up, iced tea. I'm going to stop getting iced tea, give up caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I know that's not good for you either. And even my wife was like, aren't you giving up enough? Can't you love iced tea too much. Why give that up? Uh-huh. What's an excess of caffeine really going to do against you?
Right.
And that's sort of my one pleasure, that like I go to McDonald's and I get one or two iced teas a day, and you know, hey, I do enjoy it. So that is sort of nice to do.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, do I have any cravings really for anything sweet? Not really. I have cravings for fatty stuff. That's what I have cravings for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, one of these days I'm going to start scooping out the damn bacon fat by the spoonful. Very salty though. I gotta be careful what bacon I get. Cause you can't get like, you know, hickory smoked or anything. It's just gotta be like plain bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get turkey bacon, so.
Ah, there you go.
And I know that isn't great bacon. Believe me, I know this. I know this. Everyone, please. But at least it gets me in the family of bacon.
Sure.
Would I rather like some thick cut smoked bit? Yes, of course I would. Yes, put some brown sugar on the, you know, caramelize that a little. Yes, but I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at carbs and like trying to figure out, can I even have that? Can I even afford to have that? Because I don't want all of a sudden to get like, ooh, this is maple syrup smoked, you know, hickory smoked bacon. Carb amount, 18. Mm-hmm. Well, shoot, that's the entire meal for one strip of bacon.
Yep.
Is that really going to fill me up for the next 4 or 5 hours? Right. Probably not.
Yeah, it's rough.
I know. Now, does your wife, like, how does she approach this? Because I ask because my wife, like, even during the holidays, she was really trying not to eat anything bad, quote unquote bad, or stuff that I couldn't have in front of me, as well as like when I texted her leaving work, hey, do you want anything? Where before she'd be like, can you get me KFC or can you get me, you know, Jimmy John's? Mm-hmm. But now since I can't have that stuff, she's like, no, that's okay. And she'll just go without. Hmm. And I keep telling her, like, just because you order it doesn't mean that that is at all appealing to me. So eat the chocolate cookies for Christmas. I could care less. Like, that is no temptation to me whatsoever.
Right. No, they're pretty good about it. I mean, it's not like we're eating super unhealthy before, you know what I mean? Just like, there's certain things that I have to be more careful with. Like, obviously, I can't have pasta. No bread or, you know, breaded stuff. No sugar. So like, you know.
But you did say that, like, you went to Wendy's 7 times in a month or something like that.
Yeah, that didn't last very long though.
I'm just curious, is she still sending you off to get, you know, whatever for her, knowing that you can't have it, you know, getting it for the family?
No, I think she's gotten used to the fact that I'm just a very strange individual.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because it frustrates me. I'm like, you have whatever you want. Don't worry about, like, girl, I'm over here doing, like, I'm eating garlic sausage, and I know she can't have that, but do you think I feel bad about that? No.
Uh-huh.
Because she has all this other stuff that I can't have. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we're in two separate camps.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, I think for the most part it's fine.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Good.
I was really, before this, I was really, really conscious of whatever comes in the house, I want her to be able to pick it up and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But with all of her food allergies,
yeah.
I couldn't get stuff that had corn in it, shellfish, soy, garlic. So any sauce, like, in our refrigerator would have none of that type of stuff
right in
it. Where now it's like I'm putting hot sauce, barbecue sauce, like, shoot, I might even have a barbecue sauce in there that's like garlic such and such, because it has low sugar.
Mm-hmm.
There's hardly any carbs, but oh well, sorry. Like, and I even told her, if you want me to take a red and mark the tops of stuff that you can't have, just so you know, I'll happily do that. But now, like, our snack area and our fridge area, there's stuff there that has tons of contraband for
right,
her.
Right.
Where, guess what? I can read on the back. I can read for carbs. That's pretty easy for me to, like, look at. I don't even look at sugars. I just look at carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also look over in our fruit dish. And guess what? There's bananas. Guess what I can't have? I know I can't have bananas. So I just steer clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, the change of lifestyle, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, if you are motivated, though, it's not, like, terribly difficult. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of getting used to things.
Yeah, I just can't have her just reach inside the fridge and pull out anything and think that she can have it. That's the thing.
Yep. Well, I mean, I, like, told him.
There's one brand of sausage she can have that I eat. And whenever I make it, I'm like, hey, the sausages, go ahead. You know, these are yours mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she enjoys them thoroughly. So, but everything else, avoid, because they're all garlic.
Yeah. No, I mean, I told him, I said, you know, if you guys feel like having something in particular, like, don't let me stop you. You know what I mean? Like, I'll figure something out.
Yeah, for sure.
If there's nothing in the house I can eat, I guarantee you there's eggs and bacon in here, so I'll just eat that.
Like, how many eggs are you going through a week?
24.
By yourself?
Yes.
Without the family. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So 2 dozen eggs, Like 2 pounds of bacon, like 5 or 6 pounds of chicken, like 3 pounds of steak, couple pounds of salmon. And I don't even know what the weight of vegetables is. But at least a head of lettuce or a head of cabbage. And then I just get the rest in bags, the spinach, the kale, and the broccoli.
Sure.
So like probably 2 bags of broccoli, 2 bags of kale, 2 bags of spinach.
That's where Costco can save you right there. Yeah. On that stuff alone. Holy mackerel.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, like the other stuff is easy. So if I have to make up like fat, I just throw some coconut oil in or bacon fat in. And it's pretty easy to do. And I just got that readily available. So it's fine. Yeah, it's been good, man. It's been good. I did supplement because I heard about this keto flu thing.
Yeah, explain keto flu.
So, oh, this is actually interesting because I have a story for it.
Cool.
So like the day before I started getting that paint thinner breath, I slept like shit. It's like my second or third day and I'm like, damn it. Like I don't think I'm going to do this because I slept terrible. I fell asleep on the couch watching a movie. I literally was waking up like every, I don't know, hour and a half to go to the bathroom. And, so I didn't get any sleep and, I woke up and I wasn't like as tired as I felt like I should have been. But I was tired because I woke up so many times at night, right? I went to the bathroom like 6 times that night. And usually at like once max, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I just peed a lot. Like that whole few days, I was just peeing constantly. Like at work, like every hour, go to the bathroom, bam. And like, yeah, part of it is I'm drinking more water, right? Cause I want to feel a little fuller in between meals so I don't fuck things up. So I drink more water. But also like, apparently it's part of the process. So as you're using up all the sugar in your blood, you have to get rid of the waste, the byproduct of the sugar. And, as you're running low, you're secreting a lot more water. This might have been after two. So it takes 4 molecules of water to get rid of 1 molecule of sugar, glycogen. And so as a result, when you're getting into ketosis, you pee a lot because you're just getting rid of all this sugar waste. So I was peeing a shit ton and like no matter how much I drank, I was just thirsty. Because that's just part of the process. And when you pee a lot, you lose a lot of electrolytes. So sodium, potassium, magnesium. And with the way that my diet's set up, I can get a lot of sodium and potassium pretty easily from the foods that I've chosen to eat. But magnesium's kind of tough. So once you start losing all these electrolytes, you start getting like – you get headaches, muscle aches, like your joints hurt, you feel fatigued. And the only way to fix it is to get electrolytes in your system. And obviously I can't drink Gatorade or Powerade because they're full of sugar. So I have to do it a different way. And so what I decided to do is, I don't take extra salt. Cause I think I'm getting enough salt from the salt that I put in my food and the salt in the bacon.
Oh yeah. For sure.
But I wanted to make sure I had enough potassium and magnesium in my diet. So I ordered potassium citrate and magnesium citrate, to kind of supplement that. And I gotta tell you too, like, I think that also helps. So I did a little bit of research and apparently, potassium is good to help prevent, kidney stones. Which of course is something that was worried about because of my high protein intake. If you eat a lot of protein, you can get kidney stones. And I've never had one. I don't want to have one, cause they seem extremely painful. But apparently taking extra potassium can help dissolve the kidney stones so you never really get them. And it also like balances the environment and your kidneys or whatever. So that helps for them to not process. There's also some kind of interaction between potassium and calcium. So you're not secreting as much calcium. And so that also helps prevent kidney stones. So I'm doing potassium, magnesium, and the one side effect of magnesium, I'm doing the potassium once a day. And the magnesium 3 times a day. Magnesium helps you sleep better too. I've noticed that. Like once I went into keto and I started taking these supplements, I felt better. And it's not just a diet thing. Like I do sleep better. But like yesterday, I forgot to take my magnesium and I didn't sleep as good. Matter of fact, I overslept this morning, cause I wanted to get up at like 9 o'clock. I didn't wake up till like almost 10 o'clock. But like every other day, like I wake up usually at the same time. And a lot of times without even setting my alarm, like I'll wake up right before my alarm goes off. So I've been doing those things just to make sure. And as a result, I didn't get the keto flu. I read a lot of shitty stories about keto flu, and I think they just didn't do their research and weren't eating the right stuff. And as a result, they just felt shitty and then blamed it on the keto diet.
That sounds about right, I would say.
Yeah.
People wanting to blame something else, sure.
Yep. But I have got good comments. I know Ronnie's kind of ketoing it up.
Kind of.
Yeah. I need to talk to him and see what he's doing. Cause I think his diet is definitely not as varied as mine. I'm eating a lot of the same like vegetables all the time, but a lot of like different recipes and things like that. I just want to, if he's going to do it, I want to make sure he does it right. I just haven't had the time,
you have to vary it up a little.
Yeah. And I think he's eating too much protein actually, cause he told me what he was eating the other day and I was like, that's a lot of protein. So I know he's trying it. I got a bunch of comments on Twitter that either they've tried it or are still doing it and, they feel really good about it. I got a comment tonight about a guy that he's thinking about doing it. He started working out, I guess, this week. And he's thinking about doing the keto thing. So, we'll see. I don't expect anybody to do it. You know what I mean? But like, if I can inspire some people to live a little better, then I'm good with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Explain the magnesium thing again, just so I can wrap my head around it.
Okay, so magnesium is an electrolyte.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's one of the chemicals that your body needs to move nutrients around, sodium, potassium, magnesium. The keto diet is not very high in magnesium. A lot of magnesium comes from like fruits, for example. Like kiwi is extremely high in magnesium. Obviously I can't eat fruits because they're very high in sugar.
Yeah.
It would literally put me in a coma. I got to tell you this real quick in a sec.
Sure.
But like, because I'm not eating fruits, I have to supplement magnesium somehow. And so I'm doing it 3 times a day. That's just it's 3 pills per day is the dosage. I'm just spreading it out. One in the morning, one in the midday, one at night. It partially helps with this whole keto flu thing, so you don't get it, right? Because you're supplementing the electrolytes. But it also helps you sleep better. Magnesium is one of the minerals your body uses to regulate serotonin and stuff like that. I know a lot of people supplement with melatonin. Melatonin is terrible for you. You should not take melatonin because when you start taking melatonin, your body stops making melatonin.
And it's not that way with magnesium.
Correct, because your body can't make magnesium.
Okay.
You have to get it from a food source.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it helps you sleep better.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is cool. Little side story. Let me tell you. So, when we got Chick-fil-A the other night, like I told you, and I got those nuggets and they were fucking delicious. My wife got the, whatever the number one is, the original sandwich, I guess. Reagan got, nuggets and fries. So we get home and my wife offered me a fry and I was like, I don't want a fry. And then Reagan's like, do you want a fry? And I was like, you know what? I do want a fry. Because I'm keeping track of things. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go over my carbs for the day if I eat this fry. So she gave me the thing and I was like, you know what? Can I have 2 fries? She's like, yeah, you can have 2 fries. So I ate 2 Chick-fil-A waffle fries, which are delicious. One of the best fries available.
For sure.
I shit you not, Nick. I felt like garbage within like 30 minutes.
Uh-oh.
I think just like having those 2 fries just spiked my sugar in my blood. Yeah. And I took a nap. I literally fell asleep for 2 hours after eating these fries.
Your body was like, not doing that right now.
Uh-huh. So as a result, I'm being extremely careful. That's why I was so freaked out about these damn chicken tenders today.
Sure.
Because I don't want to have that crash. Because I feel so good otherwise, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah.
God, that's funny.
But those fries were tasty. Those fries were tasty. All right, you want to wrap this up?
Sure. It's your show.
No, it's your show because the listeners have been listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore.
Oh, God.
You can, of course, find Nick at Nick Wetmore. You can find the show at Nerd Legion. And if for some reason you want to talk to me, at Geek Minds, you can find me. Thank you for listening. Catch you on the next one.